Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 154 with Ryan Jackson. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Ryan Jackson, we explore a number of interesting topics like the genesis story of fit leaders, how to make the local school a catalyst for the entire community, and building genuine partnerships between schools and cities. Today's podcast upgrade is 10 tips to be a fit leader. You can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/154-Ryan-Jackson or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Are you attending the Mastery Leadership Institute this summer in Salt Lake City? You know, educators are great. They're great at collecting data. But how do your teachers use that data in real time? Learn how to stop just collecting data and to start using it at the Mastery Leadership Institute. Learn more about this event, including the locations and dates, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. All right, we're live, so this is crazy. It's an experiment. We're having a lot of fun here. And this is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. And I'm joined with one of my edu heroes for sure, Ryan Jackson. We're going to set up this show because this, like I said, an experiment. Don't know what's going to happen. And I'm going to turn this into a podcast with Ryan, and it's going to release in July. But if you are watching live, one of the things that I want to say is if you have questions, comments or whatever, we can try to field those and, you know, throw those out to Ryan and see what he thinks. At the very least, if you get some value from this show, follow Ryan on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, share this show, like it, add comments, you know, all that stuff will boost. And that would be really, really appreciative. Okay, but we're going to hit record, everybody that's watching, and get into the content. I'm here with Ryan Jackson, Better Leaders, the principal of Mount Pleasant High in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Prior to this, he served as an AP at Maplewood High School. Jackson's tenure in education has sent him as far as China to exchange leadership philosophies as part of the Vanderbilt University and Metro Nashville Public Schools Principal Leadership Academy in Nashville. And in our first podcast episode a long time ago, we talked about the competitive teaching model and his identity as the underdog's advocate. Then he joined me in episode 50, and now this is going to turn into episode 154. And like I said, we're doing it live here on Facebook and turning this into a podcast. So Ryan, thank you so much always for joining me on the show. Thank you for starting this underdogs advocate, the Mount hashtag, fit leaders. You know, I'm following all of it and trying to, you know, share the love too. So thanks again for joining me on the show.
Man, Sunshine Danny, be awesome to be invited back. You know, this is the third time we've done this, and thinking back, I mean, that first one was 2 years ago.
I know.
I was an assistant principal in Metro Nashville at one of the toughest inner city high schools, Maplewood High School. Big shout out to them. Man, it's been a long journey. We've come a long way. So excited to inspire your listeners, your viewers today. And hopefully have some value.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. You know, it's always an honor to connect with you. You're somebody who inspires me, and I would say like lights a fire in my leadership and always pushes me to be better. We were talking during the pre-chat about some things that we can dig into during this show. And I think one of the things I'd like to start with is since we're rounding out the week, it's Sunday night for me. It's Sunday afternoon for you. And this can't be a long podcast because you're running to help some people out with working out right after this. So you've started this movement called Fit Leaders. And at the time, who knew what it would grow into? But this has now become a pretty popular hashtag, you know, on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere. Can you just share the genesis story of what inspired, you know, Fit Leaders? Where is it now? And where do you see it going in the future?
Man, absolutely. You know, I think the hallmark for me was I've been sober 5 years. Mm-hmm. And before the hashtag, you know, before really even the realization that this could be a movement, you know, it was a way to help me segue into a new chapter of my life. You know, was found myself in a new relationship, found myself in new roles in terms of my profession. And that's not the truth. I had to reinvent myself. And I did that through fitness and an overall lifestyle change. So to take it back even before that, you know, even before sobriety, when I got into leadership in the education realm, you know, switching from being a classroom teacher to an assistant principal or a dean of students, even before that, man, I just knew that I needed a clear focus. I needed more energy. I literally needed more strength. I needed to rely on myself, my body, my stamina even more. So I was already having like those thoughts and analyzing myself and my practices, my lifestyle. That was really the genesis there. Then, of course, I hit that point 5 years ago where it literally just drew a line in the sand and said, I'm going to change my life forever. And the Fit Leaders movement was truly birthed out of that. Now, I started spending so much time in the gym and 4, 5, 6 days a week. It did truly become a lifestyle. It impacted how I ate, how I sleep, just how I acted. You know, that my wife and I started joking around, you know, there's gotta be other people like that out there. There has to be other people who are committed to this kind of lifestyle, this kind of process, or maybe, you know, you're the one to attract those people to this kind of lifestyle. So we started documenting the process. Big shout out to Gary B, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, who talks about documenting versus creating, right? Just document the process, show people what you do, how you do it, why you do it, you know, sell them on your purpose, but then instill in them a greater purpose that attracts both what they're trying to do and then the world at large, how we can improve it. So all of that has led us to current day. You know, big shout out to the Fit Leaders crew and the movement and everybody that's jumped on board with this. But today I'm leaving here in about an hour, man, to go work out with my brother-in-law, who too is cutting alcohol out of his life and using fitness to take himself to professional new heights.
Hey there, this is Danny Sunshine Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools, and the School Leadership Series, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1. Yeah, it's amazing how fitness can be such a catalyst for a positivity in people's lives, whether that's, you know, them trying to turn a corner, make some type of change, or just, you know, double down on themselves and get an increase in terms of energy and physical capacity. And, you know, a neat thing, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but Better Leaders, Better Schools was born in the gym, right? I was out there sweating, cranking out some reps, you know, lifting something heavy. And I think I was listening to a podcast and I just had this epiphany, this eureka moment where I said to myself, I could do that. Who's doing that for educators? What if I just, you know, talk to people much smarter than me, a lot more experience. They made mistakes. I can learn from those. And yeah, I think I'm going to do it. So pretty much after leaving the gym, after I had that epiphany, what do I need to buy? Okay, I got the computer and now I have the microphone, earbuds, all right, by Libsyn, and I'm getting a little deep. But the point is, like, that happened because of the what you get when you're in the gym. You clear your head and the dreams, the ideas start percolating together, right? And it produces something really beautiful. But that doesn't happen unless you unplug, unless you start lifting heavy weights and running really hard and working out, you know, and breaking a sweat. Have you had any experiences like that, what I was sharing there?
Yeah, man, the endorphins are real. Endorphins are powerful. So what you're speaking to is kind of the physiological changes that we go through while we're in the midst of these intense workouts, and how, you know, the synergy between mind, body, spirit, even while we're in the gym. You know, I used to call it a sanctuary for me. You know, whether I'm in there working out by myself or whether I'm surrounded by people just kind of lost in my music, the reality is your ability to focus, you know, that clear train of thought, this connection between mind and is absolutely very real. You know, some of the best ideas I've ever had have come during some of these intense workouts. Now, I've paralleled that, meaning kind of the intense internal benefits of what a great workout does for you, or what a fitness lifestyle does for you, with also this parallel journey, this documented journey of, you know, how it has not only improved my general health, you know, an improved healthy heart, you know, better lung capacity, you know, but also how it physically. And what that means, you know, she gets kind of the work of, you know, the good shepherd and things like that, of making sure you're the type of leader that when you walk in a room, you know, you command the kind of expectations that say, I'm here for business. I know what I'm doing. I'm physically capable of doing this. So documenting that parallel journey has been interesting because I'm now starting to see so many other people go through the transformation process at the same time. It affects, you know, the internalization, what we have, but it also in real time affects our physical presence and, you know, how much of that is tied into efficacy. You know, we know we can't go on to being our best self-actualization. I believe what spending a lot of that time does for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if we can maybe even address some people's objections, right? So like leaders that are out there and they want to become more fit, they want to get these benefits from working out, but they have a number of excuses or objections. And I haven't thought too deeply about this before picking up the phone and calling you. But for example, what would you say to those leaders that say they're too busy? That's their objection. I'm too busy to make health and fitness a priority. You know, how would you address that?
Man, you got to point them to some of the research, and I'll quote it because I don't have it at my fingertips. But I wrote a blog a couple of years back on underdogsadvocate.com. You can check it out. But it was called Empower Yourself. You know, and it's really the first time I documented the Fit Leaders Movement blog format. And I quote this research, you know, about, you know, essentially north of $200 million a year spent on leadership turnover. Okay. You know, building leaders in education have approximately a 3-year lifespan. So if you think about physical, mental, emotional toil, you know, leadership has on a person. I mean, I've literally seen it pulverize people. Leaders not make it out of a full year. You know, it's incredibly tough. It's taxing. It's challenging. You don't have time not to do this. And if you don't take care of yourself, if this is truly about sustaining leadership, if it's truly about sustaining an organization, the health of a community, then we have to model that too. We have to take care of ourselves. I mean, we all know this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I would simply say the research shows that, you know, you're staring down the barrel of, you know, heavy metal when you get into this particular arena. And we have to physically, mentally, emotionally take care of ourselves in order to be prepared for that gauntlet. Find the time.
Yeah, I like that response, finding the time. And what about those leaders that they just don't even know how to start, right? Like fitness hasn't been a part of their life. They're now an adult, right? They're mid-30s, 40s, leading a school for the first time. And they were the last kid picked for kickball. They haven't seen a gym in 2 decades. They want to make a change, but they don't even know what to start. What would you say to those folks?
Man, I'd point them to a lady that I know named Vicki Anderson. You can find her on Twitter and on Facebook. You know, she's lost almost 150 pounds on her fitness journey. She just hit me up, you know, talking about, hey, how can I get a Fit Leaders t-shirt? It starts with a simple idea, and that is believe, then begin. You know, that's the cool thing about a fitness journey, man, is it's yours and yours alone. A year ago, I wrote a blog called Mr. Progress. It's on underdogsadvocate.com. It's called Mr. Progress, where I detail literally my own journey, those awkward first couple of months of going into the gym, not knowing my way around, feeling that everybody's silently judging you. You know, you throw the headphones in, you pick a couple of exercises that you want to try, and you just start learning it, man. You get on YouTube, you start watching people and some of the exercises that they're doing. You know, you pick up tips, tricks here and there. You connect with other fit leaders through the hashtag. Man, you're going to see so many different people, body types, programs, runners, lifters, yep, yogis on this Fit Leaders Movement. You know, your thing may not be weightlifting and powerlifting like I'm into. You know, you may be more attracted to, you know, Matthew Aaron, right? Or Chris Longo, you know, these guys that are down for the marathons, that are really down about that road work, you know. But just depending on what lifestyle you want to gravitate towards, or I should better say, you know, the means of how you want to get to that fitness lifestyle, you know, there is a person out there that we can connect you with, that you will be able to use their model as this beacon to travel along. So, you know, I think the education game and the fitness game has changed through these platforms like Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, where it's easy to connect. You humble yourself and ask questions, and you take your physical fitness and your health journey just as serious as you would your professional journey.
Oh, boy.
Because the two of them are so intertwined.
Yeah, here we go. Taking them as serious. I think I just have two more fitness questions, then we'll get on to more what you're doing specifically at your school. Just for you, what's a favorite routine that you have when you're in the gym?
Oh, favorite routine. You know, I have fallen in love with leg day, man. You know, I'm a 38-year-old man, right? And as I push 40, you know, there's a lots of physiological issues that affect you as you start to kick 40's door down. So, man, I love getting in the gym and squatting with heavy weight. You know, big shout out to my football coach, Bronson Bradley. I've really mentored under him, you know, in terms of powerlifting and squatting and deadlifting, you know, and how really impacting my central nervous system, really impacting my testosterone levels through this natural, you know, workout program. I love it now, where I used to be all about, you know, hitting those biceps, man, and those glamour muscles, as they call it. Man, give me 225, 250 pounds on a squat rack, man. And it clears my mind instantly. You know, I start to feel stronger, better, faster. So I love me a good leg workout squat day.
Yeah, that's good for you, right? That's like the most common one that people will skip, like that leg day. They're so focused on those biceps and stuff like that. But you're putting in the hard work, your core and your legs. So I love that. The last fitness question I have is just with the Fit Leaders movement, right? So on here with Facebook, you guys can see where to follow Ryan on Twitter. That's Ryan B. Jackson 1. Oh, and then he's sporting that gear, the Fit Leaders shirt. But I'm curious, when people have plugged into that hashtag and that movement, what's been the most surprising thing that you've seen out there, right? You started this, you know, who knows? I know you have a vision for where it's going, but what's one or two things that just really surprised you once you started this movement?
We've got everybody from school board members, superintendents, teachers, family members, community members, all walks of life jumping in, all shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, ethnicities. Man, the playing field is leveled when you start talking about health and fitness. Physiologically, man, we are all built, designed the same. We can all relate to good health, okay? And I'm telling you right now, as we're dealing with this crazy flu epidemic in the United States, it's kind of sweeping through. You find out real fast, man, that health is truly wealth. You stop taking that for granted. So I've just seen all walks of life gravitate towards it. You know, CEOs of company hitting me up, wanting to be a part of it. Whole schools taking this on, you know, and implementing a Fit Leaders lifestyle throughout their, you know, throughout their student body, throughout their teachers, throughout their curriculum. I think what's impressed me most is just started out as how can I help principals sustain this kind of lifestyle? And the reality is, man, it's everybody's approach to a healthy lifestyle. So that's been the most surprising. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. People are interested. People want help.
Hey, Danny Sunshine here, and I'd like to tell you a little more about the Mastery Leadership Institute taking place this summer in Salt Lake City. This event is an intensive 3-day professional development retreat facilitated by nationally recognized principals. Educators will be immersed in full-day workshops focused on strategies to effectively use data to target interventions, personalize learning, and evaluate instructional efficacy. True school transformation is only possible when educators are empowered to use the data they collect to immediately impact teaching and learning. Learn more about the Mastery Leadership Institute, including upcoming dates and locations, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. Okay, so I think that's a good segue, because you started talking about school board members, CEOs, all these people that you didn't, you know, necessarily realize you'd be reaching with hashtag Fit Leaders. Something that's been really impressive that we talked about during the pre-chat is how you're engaged in action research right now, and you're really investigating how the school, the local school, can be a catalyst for change for an entire community. And so what are some of the things that you're seeing there? What are some of the things that you're doing that are acting as a catalyst for change within your community?
I think in our second podcast that you and I did, podcast 50, we talked about, I was getting ready to take this job. If you remember, I was going to be transitioning from Metro Nashville Public Schools down to Murray County, Tennessee, which is about essentially an hour south of Nashville. And, you know, I originally took a job as the principal of Mount Pleasant High School, which is a fairly small high school, only about 400 students in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, a city of about 5,000 people. Since then, I have become the executive lead principal for the Mount Pleasant Arts Innovation Zone, which is a pre-K through 14 campus. And we can talk about a little bit more about what that means here in just a second. But, you know, coming down to Mount Pleasant, it was instantly clear, you know, that here was a city in the midst of, or really at the beginning stages of, revitalizing itself. You know, this is small town America. I mean, the cusp of rural America. We're kind of the, Mount Pleasant is kind of the last outpost before you really get into, you know, purely rural America. So we're this little city that was flush for about 100 years because it was the phosphate capital of the world, okay? Phosphate dried up in the early 90s, right? The city saw an unemployment rate skyrocket to about 25%. And that was before methamphetamines came in and pretty much leveled the city, flattened it on its back. You know, since then, there's been an effort that's ramped up, I mean, recently, which was part of the reason why I was brought down, to revitalize the city. You know, I used an analogy the other day when I was in Pensacola, Florida, at the Stemposium, sponsored by Discovery Education. I was sitting at this round table with all types of different business leaders, community partners, you know, everybody from Dell, Hewlett-Packard, the NFL, they're all there listening about how corporations, industry can partner with education. And I gave this analogy, you know, coming down to Mount Pleasant with this kind of STEAM ideology and this kind of boots on the ground leadership style was analogous to that scene in Pulp Fiction where John Travolta is holding, you know, the adrenaline syringe and plunges it into the heart of Uma Thurman, like literally bringing her back to life. That's what we're seeing happen down here in Mount Pleasant. The impact and effects of a school system that believes in what it's doing, that has a clear vision. Shout out to our vision, which is a courage to create. We get students to think like creators, not merely consumers of content, through this holistic learning model where art breathes life into the soul of a school. So you get them to buy into this clear purpose. And, you know, the kids start getting excited. The kids want to go to school. And how do you win parents over, Danny B? You know, by showing them that their students love what's happening in school, right? Yes. So the parents are now impacted directly because the kids are excited. The kids want to come to school. The kids want to show off their pride. They want to show off their school colors, their cool projects, what they're working on. You know, we're implementing the kind of PBLs that are now literally impacting the city, whether that's through building a splash pad or you partner with city government, or whether that's, you know, collecting Zika virus samples by cleaning gutters, you know, things like that, that are improving the community. Specifically the elderly. When you start to do that and the city gets excited about it, starts to believe in itself, that to me is that kind of influential change, man, that education was founded on, where education was meant to literally be the heartbeat of a community, of a city. That's what we're doing in Mount Pleasant right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and the other day I did a Facebook Live about two of my favorite questions right now. One would be, and it comes from the one thing. So what's the one thing I can do right now that if I completed it would make everything else easier or unnecessary? So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that question. But the other question that I am so obsessed with right now is, what would it look like if it were easy? And I was thinking about increased attendance rates or school success rates, whatever. And what I had said in the video, and I didn't know how it would land, and still a new video, but my point was, what if we just were so radically loving to kids that there was no other place they wanted to be? Part one. Part two, what if we had a curriculum such that it was so interesting and culturally relevant and time-wise relevant to what kids want, right? That there was no other place they wanted to be. That's what you're doing. And that's why we're seeing this amazing change, you know, within your community, and how Mount Pleasant is acting as that catalyst through your leadership and the hard work of all the educators that are putting in the blood, sweat, and tears at your school.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate that affirmation. You know, speaking with a guy named Mike Gorman, he's been around the block for a long time, working now for the Buck Institute and working for Discovery Education. He was the first one that made me feel like, man, this is an action research study, you know, in how education can literally transform a community. And we've got the benefit of size, right? You know, where this is a city of 5,000 people, you know, pre-K through, we've got 1,200 students. So it's sizable enough for us to really take these kind of risks, and for us to also measure the impact, you know, both the economic impact of the city. You know, right now, the city of Mount Pleasant, man, has had a sewer moratorium for almost 20 years. It's stagnated. There has not been any new home development. But because of what's happening through the school system, realtors, you know, contractors now are clamoring to get in. We're in talks now for 60 new home subdevelopment in Mount Pleasant because, what? You know, families want to come in. They want to be a part of this type of education. So when you step back from it, because as leaders, we get in the weeds all the time. You know, I'm still dealing with the minutia of everything it takes to run a school, to run a pre-K through 12 school system. You know, but when you step back and you look at the 1,000-foot view again, and you start to see that, okay, you know, we're making the kind of change here where, you know, this little city used to be the downtrodden. This city used to be, you know, the redheaded stepchild, you know, of not only the district, but even the kind of the counties surrounding it, you know, not anymore. We're step by step, you know, we're tweet by tweet, man. We're lesson plan by lesson plan, project by project, you know, gaining our respect, you know, earning the trust of the community, inspiring, influencing others around it from an area that, man, there's people that have went to sleep, woke up and thought they were in the Twilight Zone because this is coming out of Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
And, you know, not anymore. We're now starting to get the city and its community members and its families to realize, no, this is real life. This is us. Now we've got everybody pulling in the same direction. You know, that's from the city mayor to the city manager to the director of the community development center. Everybody pulling in the same direction that you start to get, you know, organizations like NASA, you know, wanting to do a 3-year deal with you. You start to get global filtration companies like Parker Hannifin that makes filters for NASA want to partner with you and give you $500,000 grants, you know, to build a new mechatronics lab in a building that was built in 1968. You know, once you're consistent with your purpose and your why, and the kids respond to it so positively, man, it is truly game changing.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you have that solid purpose and the why, the vision, right? You know exactly where you're going. They say without a vision, people scatter or people even perish. But with a clear vision, you see what's happening. It's, you know, it's gathering folks together. It's acting as a catalyst and it's changing lives, changing communities. It's so exciting to, you know, be able to watch. You talked about NASA and another company that works with NASA, but let's stay there for a second, because I know that school leaders, we understand that it's to our benefit, to our kids' benefit by developing strong partnerships, but we don't go to school for that. We don't know, like, what does it take to build those solid partnerships? And so let's stay there for a second. Just could you, you know, give a quick masterclass on what does it take to build strong relationships in, you know, with industry leaders, with people that are really going to benefit and bless your community?
I mean, that's the $1 million question, right? More the $500,000 question for sure. You know, I think some of it is beginning with the end in mind. You know, as that visionary leader, you know, you got to think, if I've got a 3 to 5 year strategic plan, what does that look like when everything's been executed? And if you know, okay, you know, I know that the projections for 2024 labor shortfalls are just going to be ridiculous. That means that right now they're projecting 181,000 electrician positions will not be able to be filled by 2024. You know, you got to start thinking, all right, how do I get my students truly prepared so that they can walk into these jobs with little to no student loan debt? And I know it sounds like I'm digressing, but I'm going somewhere with this. You know, when you understand that I need to get my students to X, what is it going to take to get them there? Then you start thinking, I'm going to need some help. All right, who's going to help me? Well, let me kind of do a SWOT analysis of the immediate area and let me see what local industries I can partner with, meaning who's within my reach, who can I physically reach out and touch and ask for their help, selling them on this vision first, not coming for a handout, selling them on this vision and how it's going to impact not only my students, their future force. Then you make it even more real for them and say, you know, if you're truly trying to hire the brightest minds in the company, I'm dealing with Parker Hannifin, the world research and development arm, you know, or I'm dealing with the R&D headquarters, research and development headquarters for Parker Hannifin, the vice president of innovation, Ryan Pastrana. His office is just a mile and a half from my school. So through conversations with him, I know that he's trying to hire the best and brightest minds in the country. Well, when you're trying to get people from Silicon Valley to move to Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, buddy, trust me, the first question I ask is, where is Mount Pleasant, Tennessee? The second question I ask is, what are the schools like in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee? So you start developing that kind of partnership, that kind of respect and trust that says, listen, it's going to take both of us pointing in the same direction to get what you want and to get what I want. But then what you also find out is most of these companies, man, even the big ones, you know, they've got these philanthropic arms, you know, they've got these missions to do. They just don't know how to do it, how to go about it. They're skeptical in some regards. They're clueless in some regards. They want to help, but how? And, you know, we know in education that there's two things to be wary of, right? Romance and finance, right? And everybody's a little weary when it comes to finance. It's like, well, what is that going to look like? How can I help? I mean, I'll be God's honest truth with you, man. When I walked into that interview with Ryan Pastrana, I mean, he told me they'd given $10,000 to the school before I got there. Funds were misappropriated. Where did they go? They didn't go towards the STEM stuff they wanted it to go to. Man, I had to eat that. Big on a book called Extreme Leadership right now. I just walk in and I was not a part of that deal. I don't know where the money went, but hey, I'm going to own it as a leader. And I'm going to humbly apologize. I'm going to extend an olive branch and I'm going to say, here's our vision. Here's how I plan on casting it. I want you guys to be a part of it. Can you give me an opportunity? And through baby steps, through a courtship, took a year. You know, we got Parker Hannifin to give us $500,000 for a mechatronics lab. But it is about having the crystal clear vision that you as a leader, the face of the organization, can go out and sell to anybody and everybody that is willing to listen. You know, it's about making allies, not enemies. It's about understanding, man, that the purse strings are so tight in most school districts, right? Man, taxpayers, as a taxpayer myself, you know, we're very skeptical of what we're just going to throw money at. We've been throwing money at things for so long in education. I don't have to ask my school for anything. I want to be able to go out with this entrepreneurial mind, this entrepreneurial spirit, and sell these companies on what we're doing. And I think through that, it's also modeling to students, you know, that we think like creators, not merely consumers. But if I want something, I go out and get it. And that's the approach that our students have to take when it comes to life. Hope that helps.
Absolutely does. Absolutely. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. And this is the last question, Ryan. Thank you for spending some time with us on the show again. And I know you talked just a second ago about being clear on your purpose and your vision. And so talk to us about your vision for a pre-K through high school STEAM campus, and we'll end there and sign off.
Man, absolutely. When I originally got down to Mount Pleasant, you know, I was just hired to be the principal of Mount Pleasant High School, and I told my superintendent at the time, about 2 weeks on the job, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could make Mount Pleasant High School the first STEAM high school, certified STEAM high school in the state of Tennessee? And he pushed back and he said, man, I've got an opportunity for you. You know, there's some people in the district and in the city of Mount Pleasant that really want to do something special and think that you're the man for the job. What if, you know, a big what if, I wonder, you know, what it would look like if we became the first pre-K through 12 STEAM campus in the country. And it was through that conversation. It was through the organizational backing of a group called Kids on Stage, a nonprofit organization that's under another company, Smelter Aluminum, which is locally based in Mount Pleasant. You know, it was through some of that dialogue and through some of that vision casting that we took a look at the city. We took a look at our little school system. So within a one block radius, man, I've got the high school, the middle school, and the elementary school with the community center in the hub. And the short of it is these schools didn't talk to each other before. There was a lot of finger pointing. There was a lot of blaming. There was a lot of shaming, a lot of infighting, a lot of backbiting. We killed that day one. We said, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get everybody to buy into this courage to create vision. Second thing we're going to do, we're going to rebrand the city and the school system itself. It had such a negative reputation, such a stigma attached to it. We're going to rebrand it. That's where hashtag the Mount came from. The idea that we're going to give this thing a whole new look, you know, a polished new identity. Still very prideful for the city of Mount Pleasant, deep roots and how those roots impact our community. But we're giving this a fresh new look. That's where the Mount came from. Once we got those building leaders to buy in, once we got the community to understand that through proximity, meaning literally these buildings are a stone throw from each other, through proximity, we can start creating this perceived sense of belonging where kids as little as 3 years old, kids up to 18, 19 years old, start to feel like they belong to the Mount, something bigger than themselves, something bigger than Murray County, something bigger than even education itself. I mean, they belong to this thing, man, this cool thing called the Mount, where every day
day, I go and I'm getting exciting new learning, really cool projects. This crazy long-haired principal man who's got awesome vision and fist bumps me in the hallway and knows me by name, you know, no matter what grade level, you know, they start buying into that ideology, man. And that is simple psychology. It goes back to Maslow. When people feel like they belong, they can then transcend to efficacy. They can then transcend to being their best. So the idea of the pre-K through 12 campus, which is now pre-K through 14, and let me explain that here when I'm done, was really birthed out of that sense of belonging. We wanted kids to start feeling like they belong as early as possible. And yes. I love that now because I've been a high school guy now, man, for 10 years, a decade. And the feeling is always we get them too late. We get them too late. By the time they get to me, man, 15 years old, 16 years old, I'm on my heels struggling to figure out, all right, how can I figure out what your interests is, your purposes are, your values are? I mean, how can I truly motivate you? I've only got 4 years to do it. No, man. Now I get them at 3 years old, and we've got teams of people in place at each school on our campus that get them to buy in and help identify their purpose, start setting these goals, and then creating massive action plans for them. Big shout out to Tony Robbins. I'm a fan. We take those kind of approaches with each kid, but we do it at 3 years old now, man.
Yes, yes.
So by the time they get to the high school and they see the work that we've done with NASA, and they see the, you know, the partnerships that we've created, man, they see the increase in attendance and graduation rate and decrease in discipline. They're like, man, this is me. This is my school, and I'm a part of this. We're now talking about sending kids to Vanderbilt, but not only Vanderbilt. And that's where the pre-K through 14 comes in. We put the Tennessee College of Applied Technology in our community center, man. This was a grant that the school system partnered with the city government of Mount Pleasant. So now we're offering kids welding certifications, industrial maintenance, advanced manufacturing certifications while they're still in high school. Or we're offering community members an opportunity to earn these certifications on our campus. So we're talking about systemic change, man. We're talking about understanding what the job market looks like, not only in the near future, but right now. We're talking about graduating kids, man, at 18 years old with a welding certification and getting them a $45,000 job with no student loan debt, no financial slavery. Right, that's what right. I'm trying to do, man. That's the movement, the wave that I'm on right now. It's about creating a perceived sense of belonging for a kid so they feel efficacious. They feel capable of doing the high expectations that you're putting in front of them. But it's also about giving them realistic opportunities immediately after school, whether that's a four-year university, two-year university, 18-month certification program, or straight into the workforce because they earned the certification program or the dual enrollment, dual credits while still in high school. Man, we're changing the game, buddy. I'm telling you, for the kids in Mount Pleasant, that's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you didn't know what's going on in Mount Pleasant right now, you know, and at the Mount, like, people are watching. They know now. And you have to be dead without a pulse if what Ryan was talking about, that vision for the pre-K through 14 STEAM campus, if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what is. So let me close out this show. Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to the podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast is brought to you by Danny and Ryan. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Ryan in the search bar. Show notes page will pop up. You get the highlights of the episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect, including hashtag Fit Leaders, the Underdogs Advocate, and follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBJackson1. Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better. Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.